So welcome to the episode for the perfectionist in recovery. This is the episode for when you are overwhelmed by just your own ideas of what it means to be successful, the giant goals you've set because you know how to hustle, you are ready to achieve big things in life. But you know what? Sometimes when you think about how big that is, how much you want to do, and the fact that like, yo, we ain't getting any younger, that can be a crappy feeling, right? But the good news is, not alone, and we've got some encouragement here for you today. So stick around, and I hope you'll be encouraged by why success isn't even really the point of work. Welcome to Rise and Come Alive, a community for Christian businesswomen. This is our place to connect. Together, we'll explore stories of incredible individuality, authentic femininity, and bold revival. I'm Lauren Sawyer, and as my mom would say, I'm your hostess with the mostess. Here's your invitation to open your mind and heart to new words or ideas. Join me on this journey where we'll learn and support each other. It's time to celebrate living vibrant lives of faith. Let's talk about success. Because I think as working women, it's so easy to have this mindset that success means a certain title, a promotion, a fancy office, a fancy car, maybe having a family with, you know, the house and the yard. Success might mean having a giant team that reports to you, a personal assistant, never ever having to worry about a bill that you need to pay. But is that what we're really called to focus our lives on? Where are those ideals coming from? So often when I'm stressed and striving, let's say that one again, when I find myself stressed and striving, what I'm working toward is a false sense of success, and it creates so much anxiety because it's not possible to really reach. It's not possible to reach a fabricated idea of success because, as the word implies, it literally doesn't exist. So I want to share with you a quote from Mother Teresa that the moment I heard it, I knew I had to commit it to memory. Mother Teresa shared, "God has called us not to be successful, but to be faithful." I'll say it one more time for you. God has called us not to be successful, but to be faithful. And I think when you hear that, it can be kind of a relief because we spend so much time and energy trying to fit into that pair of jeans we could wear last year, or try to, you know, do our hair perfectly, or arrive at every meeting perfectly on time, even if you're also balancing, you know, taking kids to school and making their lunches. And how do we do everything so perfectly? And it's like, that's missing the point. These words free us to just keep going. We don't have to be worried about doing our daily tasks in a perfect manner, but rather a faithful one. So I want to share a portion of the book Called to Create by a friend of mine, Jordan Rayner. Called to Create is a biblical invitation to create, innovate, and risk. So I think it's really helpful that Jordan uses the insight of his friend, Dr. Kenan Vaughn, a pastor and founder of the discipleship training organization Downline Ministries, to understand the Great Commission. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the close of the age." Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And as working people, this can feel unsettling, maybe, to think, do I need to quit my job and become a full-time missionary so I can tell the world about the love of Jesus and the faith that I have in my heart? Or is it okay to be spending my day in this full-time job or my side hustle or, you know, just whatever work I choose for my day, my volunteerism, be it outside of the church or not? Is this what Jesus meant? And so I think this context is really helpful. So quote, "Go is not a command. Jesus is not commanding them to go as much as he is saying, having gone, turn men into disciples. The word go literally means having gone. The going is assumed. In other words, Jesus is going to adjourn the meeting on the hillside in Galilee, and he's saying, having gone from here, as you go, turn men into disciples. Go is not the command. If it were, then Jesus himself wasn't real big on fulfilling the Great Commission." And I love how Jordan adds this. "Lest I be a heretic, hear me again. Go is not the command. Jesus didn't go more than 200 miles away from his own hometown. And yet he is saying, go make disciples of all nations. And I would venture to say Jesus is the greatest disciple maker in the history of the world. It wasn't about how far he went. It was about what he did while he was going. The same is true for you and I." End quote. So when I get stuck and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, it's like, okay, I have 100 unread emails. I know I need to get these things done for work. I have these deadlines pending in my personal life. What is important? What do I do? I'm starting to feel really overwhelmed and uncertain of where to start in all of that, peeling away what's bothering me, peeling it away, we can see that maybe the concern that's lying there is I need to do everything right. I need to pick the absolute best thing to work on first. I need to have done it to the absolute best of my ability. I need to have balanced every single thing, not let anything fall through the cracks. But when we're thinking about the meaning of our life and what will actually bring us joy filling our days, is that just work? Is that just tasks? Or rather, how we do them? I think it's a beautiful concept, everyday holiness, to think about how do we live our faith through every moment of our lives. But what does faith mean? So I'm Catholic, so to borrow from the Catholic Catechism, second edition, faith is a personal act, the free response of a human person to the initiative of God who reveals himself. Now, this is what I love, and it reminds me why we're here, why I'm doing this, and I can't wait to meet you and be part of this community together. It goes on to say, "But faith is not an isolated act. No one can believe alone, just as no one can live alone. You have not given yourself faith, as you have not given yourself life. The believer has received faith from others and should hand it on to others. Our love for Jesus and for our neighbor impels us to speak to others about our faith. Each believer is thus a link in the great chain of believers. I cannot believe without being carried by the faith of others, and by my faith, I help support others in the faith." Wow. When I've thought about faith before literally looking up the official definition today, I've thought about faith as a truly individual act. Like, I wake up in the morning and this is the thing I believe. And other people believe it, but my faith is my faith. And what this is saying is, I didn't get that from myself. I didn't. I learned my faith from my parents. I learned my faith from my godparents. I learned my faith from my community at church. I learned my faith from books. I learned my faith from friends, friends in real life, friends from podcasts. And here we are sharing that. Because how do we go about something alone? How do we go about life alone Where's the joy in that? On my computer that I'm using to record right now, I have a sticker of Blessed Carlo Acutis. It says, pray for us and bless this tech. He was an Italian teenager who died at the age of 14 from leukemia. And he is on his way to sainthood. And he was really good with technology and also really loved Jesus and the Eucharist. So he made a website cataloging Eucharistic miracles, which honestly, I'm doing my best to explain everything here today and throughout this podcast, but it might just be best to Google Carlo Acutis, A-C-U-T-I-S, and find his website because, hey, one day he could be a saint and you could have seen a website made by a saint. So I think that's pretty cool and he can explain it to you there. And I was reading on Instagram an account recently that said when they pulled up the website, and I kind of thought this and you might think this, they thought, oh, this is pretty unremarkable. And yeah, it is kind of unremarkable. It's not the best graphic design in the world. There's not, you know, amazing images, videos, all of this production quality, right? And so then you kind of think to yourself, well, I even could have done this. Like, what's so great about this? But that's not the point. The point isn't the quality of the website. You know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're thinking, oh, I haven't gotten my brand photo shoot done right. I don't have the beautiful images of me, or I haven't, you know, been able to edit my copy and get all the words I want to say just right. And I don't really know how to like build my sales funnel and, you know, put calls to action to get everybody interested in buying from me. Or is that just me as I'm building this community? But that's like not the point. Again, like, we're called to live faithfully in our everyday acts, not to be successful, because success, again, is intangible. What I think is really beautiful is that when summing up his own life, Carlo Acutis said his goal, his reason for living, was to be always united with Jesus. This is the plan of my life. He was a person who helped bring his family to church. They were working people who are not necessarily close to the faith, and he would encourage them to go to Mass with him every day and receive the Eucharist. And I just think it's so beautiful that even in his own sphere of influence, he wasn't from a huge town, he was able to at least, you know, involve his own immediate family. And how often do we overlook our own immediate family in our faith lives, in our work? And think, oh, well, you know, it's about my coworkers, it's about my neighbors, it's about the children in orphanages. But to live a life of faithfulness, it starts in your family. It starts there. That's where we learn to love well. And obviously, not everyone has the same upbringing and same family, and it can be hard to love there. But there's always something to learn about love. The thing to learn about love for us is a thought that when I feel alone and I feel discouraged, comes back to me over and over again. And I never looked it up until I wanted to find the exact verse of the Great Commission for this podcast episode. But I would think, I'm with you always, even till the end of time. And we already heard that today because it's Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Well, this is verse 20. And I thought, whoa, I didn't know those two things came back to back. I knew go make disciples of all the nations. But I didn't know the very end of this is I'm with you always, even until the end of time. And it's not a coincidence. It's the Holy Spirit. I came to this episode empty-handed. I was like, I literally don't know what I'm gonna talk about. And I wanted to be awesome and make a difference. So there it was. There was the answer. I was like, focused on my fake idea of success. Like, let me say the most profound things you've ever heard that make a difference in your life for years to come, and you can't wait but tell all of your friends about it. But that's like not it. Like, cool, would it be nice if you told a friend and you did get something out of it? Absolutely. That would be amazing. But I just showed up today and said, you know what? I know it's important that I do this. I don't know exactly where it's going. And so my prayer for you today, when you're stuck and you're striving, is to say, God, I come to you with open hands. I don't want to hold on to what I think are the best gifts to offer you. I don't want to hold on to my ideas of perfection. And may I just be open to what you have for me? Will you guide me and be with me always? Amen. Well, fancy seeing you here. I love your dedication to listening to every second. So I've got an insider tip for you. Sign up for the email list with the link in the description and subscribe to Rise and Come Alive today. I'll drop surprise episodes and you will be the first to know. My way to say thank you.